it's Magnum Podcast. I'm Jason Snell, joined once again by my co-hosts, Philip Michaels and David J. Lohr. Hi, guys.
Mr. Doug Eibold, please report to customs.
I'm just happy that we're finally discussing an episode that is going to blow the lid off the crime of airline tickets.
And of driving a car without insurance.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of crimes in this episode, and I'm not sure what any of them
sure
are.
What they are. You know, last week we talked about a plot that didn't make any sense.
Well, we had no idea. This makes by its cover look like Mousetrap.
Oh, yes.
It's intricate plot.
Yes, this is season one. That'll be a tip-off. Episode 13, uh-huh. All Roads Lead to Floyd, starring Noah Beery Jr. as Floyd Llewellyn. I like this episode. It's silly. What I like about it, I think, is that I very quickly got the idea behind this episode, which is everything is connected. All roads lead to Floyd. Everything that happens in this episode is connected to Noah Beery as Floyd. And you just go with it, right? Like, you don't go, well, that's a lot of coincidences. It's like, no, you don't understand. All roads lead to Floyd. It's right in the episode title. Everything in here is going to be, is the guy, there's a scene early on where Magnum is picking up a lady at the airport. We'll get there. There's other stuff that happens at the airport. Yeah. Honolulu Airport. He's picking her up at the gate like you could do back in the day before 9/11. You could pick people up at the gate. And before she gets off the plane, a Texan with a cigar gets off the plane. And you know what? If you're watching this episode and you don't think, I bet that guy is an important part of this episode, I don't know. I can't help you. Because it's very clear, friends, all roads lead to Floyd.
I will say this. The first time he appears and sort of bumps into her, I thought, did that guy win a contest so that he gets to appear in the episode? Because what a weird placement.
And Texan then he with a cigar.
And then he like walks into the shot again, and I say, okay, that Texan is going to lead us to Floyd.
Yeah.
So, yes.
And that's
or he's going down the road to Floyd.
He's going down, because this is all roads lead to Floyd. See, again, all roads lead to Floyd. So Floyd, Noah Beery, begins. He is frisked and visits a Japanese golfer who, and it's a funny moment where he's got his two kind of like henchmen. Magnum PI, by the way, loves having the two henchmen. Two burly henchmen is a thing that happens a lot on this show, the two burly henchmen. Anyway, he's got his two burly henchmen there who explain to Noah Beery a very detailed itinerary for this guy. He says, well, you know, he's going to be touring the outer islands, but then he'll be back in town and then he'll give you a call then, and then we can settle up our business agreement. And he bows and says, like, oh, yes, well, I'll be back to Mr. Mizumura then, very much, and he leaves. At which point, Mr. Mizumura, who has had all of this sort of like translated for him or they speak to him and then back, turns to his thugs and says, you better follow him. I don't trust him, in perfect English. It's great.
Well, I think we should point out that this is Seth Sakai, who, if you needed a guy with an egg-shaped head to play an evil Japanese businessman in the 1980s, if Seth Sakai didn't get that part, he was on the phone to his agent saying, What the hell, Larry? What am I paying you for?
He's in like six episodes of Magnum. He's in like 23 episodes of 5-0.
Listeners of the podcast will remember him from The Arrow Is Not Aimed with his limousine full of ninjas.
Oh, limousine of ninjas, yes.
I guess this is when he was just starting out as a crime lord and could only afford two henchmen and not the full component of ninjas.
Yes,
this is a golf cart full of ninjas.
In the 90s, I think he was replaced by Soon Tech Oh as your go-to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, he was all over 5-0 too.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
he had a very good run.
Fujioka.
Soon Tech Oh, who also was in four episodes of Magnum as different characters. So they get around. Anyway, I love the bit, though, where he is obviously the very connected Japanese potentially mafioso or at least criminal of some sort, and they have to translate everything for him, and then Floyd leaves, and he speaks perfect English, and he's like, yeah, you should follow that guy. I don't trust him. It's great.
There is something in that first scene that I love, though, where, you know, because you have the camera right down by the golf hole, right?
Yes.
And he's doing putting. His practice putting, mm-hmm. right? And Noah Beery comes up behind, and they do the frisk, and this is all in one shot, same shot. He's getting frisked behind them. Seth Sakai takes a shot, goes right in the hole.
Ugh.
It's beautiful. I don't think he gets another one in the hole at all.
No,
for the rest of the scene.
I have to tell you, as a guy who plays miniature golf quite regularly, his putting technique is abysmal.
It's terrible. Yes.
Really, yes. No. Practice does not make perfect in this case. Practice makes pathetic. You wow. stink at this, Seth Sakai. If you hadn't have died in 2007, I would challenge you to a putt-off right now.
Oh, boy. Well, I think that's all for the best then.
Mm-hmm.
Another amazing moment is that when he goes back out, when Noah Beery goes back out to the parking lot, he sees a nice car and the keys are still in it. And he's literally, I mean, he might as well be licking his lips. He's like, oh, sweet stolen car. And he's like, no, long game. I'm avoiding the temptation to steal this car. And he drives off in his teeny tiny Honda, which, as Magnum Dash Mania tells us, is a N500 from the early 70s, the first Honda officially imported into the United States. It is a teeny tiny, hilariously small car. We will be seeing it again later. It will remain hilarious.
I was so happy to get confirmation of that because I couldn't remember if I got the number right, but I knew someone who had that in Florida back in the 70s. Yeah. And so I saw the car and I'm like, oh, yeah. I remember that car.
Yeah, the Honda Civic of the late 70s, early 80s is much larger than this. It's a very small car, but not as small as the N600. Very, very small car.
This is tinier than, this is kind of like in between like a Fiat Spider and a Mini Cooper from the late 60s.
So right?
It's tiny.
So Floyd drives away, and then of course Magnum is driving, and this is our first sort of like all roads lead to Floyd moment, which is Floyd cuts in front of him. Magnum has to throw on his brakes. Floyd goes along his way, but an old lady rear ends the Ferrari. She's very sorry, but then she says, "Oh, I knew the minute I canceled my insurance coverage, something would go wrong, and I wrote to myself." A note that said, yes, that's why auto insurance is required now.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have it. TC gets all mad because he's planning a whiplash lawsuit. I don't think we see TC again in this episode, but he's riding with Magnum in this scene.
TC is presumably under the surgical knife to repair his neck.
He's in traction. He's seeing a chiropractor. There's lots of stuff going on. Magnum's like, no, it's a little old lady. I couldn't bear it. I'm just going to have to pay it. But of course, it's a Ferrari, so it's going to cost a fortune. And that's absolutely the case. So Honolulu Airport.
Ah, our favorite place in Honolulu.
It is. It's the best. Oh. When if you're going to Honolulu, I recommend you start at the Honolulu Airport, which unless you're taking a cruise, you probably will.
All roads lead to the Honolulu Airport.
From the Honolulu Airport. Magnum meets a woman at the gate and says, I'm sorry, I'm late, which is weird because she's just literally walked off the plane. So how late could he be? But he's still got his tennis clothes on from his tennis game. I didn't mention that TC's holding a tennis racket. They were playing tennis in that previous scene. But she's off the plane and an angry guy with a cigar is there. That's all roads lead to Floyd is what I'm saying. It's Cindy. She's Magnum's client. She has a postcard. That's the correspondence she's brought for him to find her dad, who she hasn't seen in a long time. I immediately thought to myself, why is she there in person? Why wouldn't you have him find him and then say, come on out, Cindy from Kansas. And I know where your dad is, but no, she's brought the postcard, which is the only lead that Magnum has to find her father. Any guesses on who her father is? Yeah, all roads lead to Floyd.
Yeah.
That's right.
And this is, now I remember this because this is an actress I always enjoyed. Some people might recognize her as Parker Lewis's mom from Parker Lewis Can't Lose.
That's not where I recognize her from.
I recognized her from
Not necessarily the news. Is Anne Bloom, ladies and gentlemen.
That's Frosty Kimmelman.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Oh, and she's delightful in this. She gets to be ditzy and sweet. And a different tone against Selleck than we usually see.
Yeah, absolutely. She is also, so last week I talked about the parole officer, who was a pretty good female character who didn't make me kind of weep. And I would say this is a little more stereotypical. She's your just off the, they will do this again. The just off the boat off the plane from Kansas.
The turnip plane flew in and she fell and off
yet,
it.
And yet with Cindy, I don't know. There's something. She's just off kilter enough.
She's winning.
She is literally winning. It's just enough.
And you know, she's smiling. And so when she does get to be sad, and he says, that's a good contrast to that smile you always have. And he gets to kind of tease her about it. Whereas most of the time it's just like, oh, you're just naive. And so this is a little more. Yeah. Dimension.
So Magnum takes her out to the car, which he's literally just left the Ferrari sitting at the curb. It's fine. Nice.
In the red zone, by the way.
Yeah.
Well, it's a red car. So.
And she says, oh, I just knew it was your car. At which point Magnum stares straight at the camera forever.
That's the kind of car a man like you would drive.
Well, because it's a callback to the earlier exchange with the old woman, where she says, "Well, whoever owns that car, they're going to be very sad.
They're going to be sad. Yeah,
clearly you doofus are borrowing this car. Yes, yeah.
But here she says it. But then Magnum looks at the camera for a very long time. It's a little. I said how much I liked Magnum looking at the camera last week. I'm just going to say. It's too much this time.
Short episode.
Season one. They're figuring it out still. Cut two. I hate to say this, guys.
I have the
bathroom at the Honolulu International Airport. Sign of crimes. No.
And
someone's going to die.
I mean, clearly this guy is the bad guy. And I'm still like, don't go in the men's room. Also, what are you doing?
This is the confirmation that Cigar Man is indeed in this episode and not just a rando who got off the plane, because he takes his suitcase, he takes it to the murderous airport bathroom,
the murder bathroom,
opens it up, and he's got a gun in it and a picture of his target, and it's, guess what, it's Noah Beery, it's Floyd.
It's Floyd.
All roads lead to Floyd.
And we should point out that he is played by Big Tex is played by Red West, former Elvis bodyguard and crony, and author of the book, and I'm paraphrasing the book title, Elvis, You Take Too Many Drugs, Please, No!
And
his character is named Bull, by the way, Bull.
Mm-hmm.
And going back to last week's segment, he appeared with Tom Selleck in the failed pilot The Concrete Cowboys in 1979.
Amazing.
Jiminy Crickets.
Who didn't appear with Tom Selleck in the failed pilot?
A lot of failed pilots.
There are a lot of those, yeah.
Anyway, Bull does not get murdered in the bathroom, nor does he commit a crime, but he does bring out his gun.
He thinks about it.
Yeah,
he's pondering the crime.
Yeah,
he's planning a gun. Murder bathroom.
I would think the gun is in his suitcase, unless he declared that before getting on the plane.
Oh, I don't know. I think you can check anything. Who cares?
Oh, I guess
1982.
So.
That's the law.
I guess so. Okay.
All right, so we catch up with Bull at a tour. So this is a sequence of scenes that I really like a lot, which is
smartly done.
Magnum and Bull are both trying to find Floyd, and they don't know about each other yet, even though they ran into each other at the airport. They don't know that they're both on his case. So Bull goes to the tour that supposedly employs Floyd as a tour guide. And you get a drink. Enjoy your complimentary drink, says the tour guide guy. And Floyd or Bull is like, well, listen, son, I've got a free drink. And he's like, it'll be $3.50, sir. He's like, no, they said it was a free drink. It's like, that's only our shitty
watered down Hawaiian cocktail drinks.
You
wanted a beer, a real drink. And so we're going to charge you for that.
Yeah. And then what he says, though, it's a great line. He's like, son, where I come from, a shot and a beer is one drink, which is some chutzpah right there. And the kid who is the bartender is like, "I'm sorry, sir. I'm sorry, Mr. Texan. Go about your business." And he leaves with the beer. His shot is not taken. He just leaves it there. He really just wants the beer. But of course, he finds out Floyd doesn't do this tour. You need to check in with the travel office at Timeway Travel. Maybe they know what Floyd's doing now. Cut to Timeway Travel office. Magnum is there. And I'd like to introduce a new segment to the show now called Sexy Tours. This is a segment named after our founder, Charles Sexy, with two X's for two extra X's. Sexiness.
We put in the extra X for savings.
This is literally what this is. It's Sexy Tour. That is Magnum's cover. And then in order to cover his cover, he says it was founded by Charles Sexy with two X's. But of course, you know, it doesn't hurt to be called Sexy Tours.
It is one of my favorite dumb comedy bits. When you say, "Oh, this is the Chrysler building named after John Chrysler, or General Motors named after General Fred Motors," and but here Magnum is doing it for reals with Charles Sexy,
two X's
of the Connecticut Sexies.
Yeah, this is like come to our show, the boobs show. Mm-hmm. Oh, no, don't get the wrong idea. It's named after our choreographer, Franklin Boobs, with three O's. Yep. Come on, man.
Three O's and three B's.
Oh.
And a couple of D's.
And double D's. You damn it, David. that's where I was going, and you got there too fast. All right.
Great minds think alike,
Charles,
and so do we.
Sexy. Charles Sexy, two X's. Anyway, Floyd had a problem with his background check. He now works at Oahu Greeters. Cut to Oahu Greeters, where the cigar man is. That's right. Bull is there. Well, he's gone, but he did get a job at some hotel that does a luau called, like, I don't know, Joe's or Bob's or some name. Cut to
a traveling luau.
Cut to Magnum saying, "So is this where Jack's luau is?" And they're like, "Yeah." The lady, and then okay, and this is Vicky? This is our
yes.
So this lady who works there at the hotel where they sometimes have Jack's luau, she says Jack cut him loose a couple of weeks ago. He was skimming some money off the top, and he's like, "Oh, embezzling! I didn't know he would do that." And she's like, "Nah, it's not embezzling. It's, you know,
embezzling makes it sound serious.
Yeah, it's just skimming some money off the top." So first off, I love this character already because she doesn't care about anything. And then she says, "Oh, you should stick around. You could be a part of our gift exchange." He's like, "Gift exchange? What's that?" And she says, "Well, you've heard about a pyramid scheme." It's one of those. It's amazing. She's like, "Yeah, you know, you put in 1,000, and then a few weeks later, everybody gives you 50,000, and then you avoid the police after that, and you're good."
And it was named after our founder, John Ponzi, with three Z's.
Yeah, no, it's not a pyramid scheme like you're thinking of. This was Ben Pyramid who came up with it, so it's fine. Pyramid with an I, not a Y.
I literally
and his partner,
did not.
Ted Scheme.
This was my first. My head hurts from following the plot here. The whole gift exchange thing, was this a like late 70s, early 80s thing that just didn't catch on?
I think
me,
this is just a parody of pyramid scheme bits.
Yeah,
in the 80s, right?
Except there's a heavy sex cult feel
okay,
to it.
Yes.
Which is where I was all, what is happening here?
Well, so,
what
okay.
am I watching?
So my notes in this part, because I was giggling at this point. First is the lady there is a fan of pyramid schemes.
Yeah,
that's
well,
great.
Who isn't?
And then the next line is, "Wow, the game ladies like Bull, the cigar man, because
they sure do.
Because they all are over there, like, oh, you're welcome to the gift exchange and all that, and they are dressed, they've got these bright dresses on, and my next line in my notes is, wow, is this the 1980s? Because it is, you will not get any more. So yes, there is a little bit of a like a sex party thing going on.
Well, there is literally one woman like slinks up to him after he's introduced, latches onto his arm, and just point blank goes, I'm really getting off on you.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
It's like,
because I think they're
1982. You okay?
I think they're. These are the marks, though. They're bringing in the.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
This is like a you know, an Amway or a Mary Kay or I don't know what. Don't sue me. It, again, again. It was
Herbal
it
Life.
Was, it was no, yeah.
They're not litigious.
Yeah. It was again. It was Ted Pyramid and Bray schemes.
And Bob Scheme.
And they came up with it together. Anyway, it's
and
amazing.
Charles Sexy also. Like and some Charles advice. Sexy.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Hold this thought about the weird pyramid scheme sex party that's happening with our Texan and Magnum. And and our friend Cindy is there too, but she's like gone to the ladies' room, we're told. Hold that, because also outside, this is so great. This segment is this is the best part of the whole episode. Are the two guys who
have followed Floyd there.
Mr. Mizumura instructed to follow Floyd because he doesn't trust them. And he goes, and they're like, oh, Floyd's going into this party. And they're like, thank God, I'm so hungry. And he gets out a box with fried chicken, and he's like, finally, we can eat our chicken.
Not just that, a picnic basket.
Yes,
it is
inside
a huge basket of chicken.
Of chicken.
I have in my notes, you gotta love a tale that brings a picnic basket.
Yeah. Well, these guys
are Yogi Bears.
Really imagine they don't want to eat. They don't want to eat off duty, but they're also not going to pursue him into the party because they would like. They're like, oh, thank God he's going to the party. Let's have our chicken now.
Imagine the largest Kentucky Fried Chicken bucket you can imagine, and like, then triple it in size.
You know,
wicker.
There are Magnum episodes. and last week, I mean, we got some of this, but there are some Magnum episodes where it feels like very 80s by the numbers crime drama, and those are the less enjoyable Magnum episodes, I would say, because what I want in my Magnum episodes is things where you're like, why is this in this episode? And the two thugs having a big basket of chicken is so unnecessary and amazing. I love it. I just couldn't love it more.
Do I want my fake Miami Vice noirish montages with
I want a pair of burly thugs who really just want to eat their lunch. That's now, what I want.
Now, if they had
I want a
Genesis
strange
song,
standoff.
If they had a Genesis song playing as two guys ate chicken, I think
maybe
some compelling TV.
Maybe. Yeah.
Admittedly.
The Lamb Lies Down on Broadway.
Uh-huh.
Having heroes. I mean, that's comedy. Oh.
He seems to have the let me do that again. Wait for it. Wait for it, David.
He seems
to have the original recipe.
There you go.
Right? Ah, there you go.
Right?
There you go.
I did it, everybody. Oh, yep. I got there in
which,
the end.
Which
I can
was
feel
named
the herbs and spices.
Which was
now.
Named for a co-founder, Corporal Recipe.
Uh-huh.
With two
well, I remember the biscuits.
Oh, man.
Oh, anyhow, there, yeah,
there
are
no
happening
rails.
Here. Okay,
there are no rails.
Floyd is going
into
the pyramid sex party now. All right, so it's here we go, everybody. All roads lead to Floyd.
And he's going, where's Charles?
To Floyd.
Someone told me Charles would be here. This is the sexy party.
And there's a moment where... it's like Floyd and Magnum's like Floyd and Bull is like Floyd. At which point there's a line of girls in bikinis at the sex party standing by a pool. They're all in a line allowing Bull to push them domino like into the pool as he rushes to get Floyd.
Run past them, taking time to actually like stiff arm them like he's running for the end zone.
He could literally just walk on the inside of them, but instead he pushes them into the pool.
No, he couldn't even walk on the inside of them. There's no space. No,
they're standing right there.
Really
they're posed
weird.
Right by there. But it is,
and it's
amazing.
Like the worst Busby Berkeley Esther Williams routine you've ever seen.
Yeah. This leads to, you know, Floyd is running, Magnum is running, this guy is shooting. They run out into the street. And you know what this means, everybody? We get the payoff of the guys finally having their chicken, which is like, ah, we got to put down our chicken. and exchange gunfire with this guy who's shooting at the guy that we're following.
They must be very skilled marksmen, because I don't care what kind of chicken you're eating.
Yeah, greasy.
He's chickenly, very greasy, yeah. So how are they able to hold on to their guns and pull the triggers
They don't seem to hit anything, but...
Okay, well, there is that.
But it's just a rappel bull. Now, Floyd is driving away. Magnum just hops in the car, because the Magnum is very tall, and this car is very small and apparently very slow, because it is a very tiny car. That's the end of the game, according to Bull, because his mark is out there, and the sex party ladies are like, I guess you just don't want to play our game anymore. Magnum is in the car now with Floyd, who's like, what are you doing in my car? Get out! Why are you? And there is a great moment of realization on Magnum's face when he realizes, this is the car that cut me off, that caused the Ferrari to be rear-ended, and it's going to cost me $2,500. He has that moment. He has his own personal all roads lead to Floyd moment.
Which involved roads.
And which leads to, okay, again, a wonderful scene, which is, how is Floyd going to get out of this? They're being chased. They're in Honolulu. Floyd stops the car, gets out, and runs away, leaving Magnum sitting in the car in the middle of the road. It's great. And Magnum's like, oh, boy. So Magnum gets in the little tiny car, which I'm going to do my obligatory Simpsons reference here, which is, this is the largest car that I could afford. A very large man in a very tiny car, and takes it back to the sex party. I can't believe I just... said that phrase, but there it is. A very small car drives to a very large pyramid scheme sex party.
That's the episode title if we had episode titles.
Cindy is there and says, well, and says another great line, which is what? Yeah, well, they were shooting at him. And she says, well, who'd want to shoot at daddy except mama?
Mm-hmm.
Love it. Love it. Good stuff. And she's like, oh, he was waiting away from me. He doesn't like me. No, why did I even come? And Magnum's like, no, Cindy, don't worry. It wasn't you. It was the men with the guns he was running away from. Don't worry about it. It's okay. So Higgins, back at the estate. He takes her back to the estate. Higgins is there. Higgins rips into Magnum because it's season three at this point.
No, it's season one.
No, it's season one. So he's ripping into Magnum, and he's like, you're never going to be able to drive you're going to pay for all the repairs to the Ferrari, or you'll never drive it again. And, you know, he's nice enough to Cindy, but he's mean to Magnum. And then he leaves and hands the drink that he was pouring for Cindy back to Magnum. And Cindy asks Magnum the wonderful question, oh, why do you keep a man like that on your estate? And Magnum just drinks. Just drinks. Cut to, there's a knock at the door. Magnum is asleep in his bed. This gives us some shirtless Magnum time, ladies. The lads
not are quickly, not quickly wearing quickly suspenders and shorts. A belt, not, like, not like certain members of the...
No, Magnum goes to the door. The lads have delivered two letters. When I leave, I will leave you two letters delivered by dogs. One of them will be from Cindy, and it will say, we went to the club. And the other one, and you're wonderful, by the way. And Magnum says, and the other letter was from Higgins, and let's just say he doesn't think I'm wonderful.
Oh, and I love the phrasing of it, because he goes, I can't really say what his letter said.
Yeah.
It's nice. And it's like this awareness that this isn't just in Magnum's head. He knows he's on TV.
And the identical, the letters are identical. So I like to believe that Cindy was like, I'd like to write Tom a note before we go to the club. And Higgins was like, oh, yes, you write him a note with this piece of paper.
I will also
write him a note, and we'll send them together. And she's like, oh, that's so sweet. And he's like, yes, yes, sweet,
and,
yes.
And he'll read them in the right order.
Don't read mine. It is the foulest of... But no, write your letter from Kansas. Yes, yes.
You see, David, your point brings up my commonly held belief about Magnum, that these stories are just him in a bar telling someone... his tales,
yes,
of his daring do. So this is why he's sparing the sensitivities of the barflies. Yeah.
You know who it is.
Things that Higgins said. Who?
It's not even Thomas Magnum. It's Robin Masters.
It's Robin Masters.
Oh, well, there
right?
is. Maybe. Yeah.
No, it's Thomas Magnum telling his stories to Robin Masters.
Yeah. There you go.
Okay.
Here's all the stuff you missed by not being here, Robin.
But Magnum, why do you think I'm Higgins? So, you can see that I'm clearly not.
I'm very confused by this. Have you been hit on the head one too many times,
what
Thomas?
What an idiotic plot line that you've developed late on in your stories.
So now, Magnum has to drive in the little Honda. He drives up in that comedy.
And that is comedy gold.
Oh, it's so good.
And him and the side view of him unfolding out of the car
this
slowly.
This is this beautiful. Is when a new segment that I want to call A Peek Behind the Curtain. And as we were watching this episode, Jason texted David and I the was not an actual screenshot from The Simpsons, but certainly the line from The Simpsons.
No, it was a picture of Magnum getting into the tiny Honda.
This
is the largest car I can afford.
And the line from 22 short films about Springfield, where the giant man who's taunted by Nelson gets out of the little car and say, "Does my appearance seem comical to you? This was the largest car that I can afford."
Yep, and that is happening here. It is great.
And I mean, the text came in, and I started laughing, and everyone
and
was like, "You're okay?"
And that's a little peek behind the curtain.
Yeah, I text when I'm watching these. I totally text you guys when I'm watching these episodes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So this is good stuff. Good stuff here. All right, so the two thugs are there, though, and they're like, "Please join Mr. Mizumura for lunch." and like, "Oh, you guys are after him." I'm like, No, we're looking out for him. But just to make sure he shows up at our meeting. And Magnum's like, "Well, why would I do that?" And he's like, "Well, you know, I'm a businessman. If he shows up, I'll reward you. Otherwise, these guys who like chicken will reward you, and you're not going to like that so much." And he's like, "All right, got it. So Rick...
I mean, I'm treating you to a good lunch.
So Rick helps Magnum look up a lead... while Cindy is in a bikini sunning herself, which causes Magnum consternation.
And
Rick laughs at him, which is great.
Yes, I totally get it.
Yep, Rick laughs at him. It's hilarious. She's fitting in with the Hawaii life now. So he goes and finds this guy, Curtis Burnside, and he says, and this guy, I'll just say instantly suspicious as a weasel. He's like, I also want to know where Floyd is. All roads lead to Floyd, you know, he doesn't say, but, you know, it's strongly implied. He's in witness protection because he's a con man. He's scheduled to testify in a trial very soon. And he's like, "But you should help me, Magnum. You just let me know when you find him." And Magnum's like, "Yeah, okay, I'll let you know." And I'm sitting there thinking, this guy is very... aggressively like, "No, call me, Magnum. Call me." And of course, the moment Magnum leaves, Bull pops out and goes,
I was going to say, before you even get to that, you know, so Magnum leaves. And I'm just sitting there going, if he is in witness protection, why is he using his real name?
Well, they address that later. But
yes, they do.
They do.
But in the moment, I was like,
it is baffling. It is baffling. And then Bull is actually there and these guys are in cahoots and it's all part of the same thing. Cut to, we're actually outside one of the places we were before where he worked, the travel agent or whatever it is.
Timeway Tours.
He's breaking in. He's sort of like clipping wires on the security system or whatever on the outside. Floyd is, and he's gets into the safe, and Magnum and Cindy walk in and they have their moment together. And she says, you know, "Oh, you know, why did you leave us there?" And he said, "Well, you know, I left your mom." He's got his patter down, right? He said, "I left your mom because I didn't want to take her with us because I knew that we weren't going to be together forever. And honey, if I could have taken you with me and I thought that your life would have been better, I would, but I knew it wouldn't be, so I left you behind." It's like things that bad dads say after they leave. And what we find is that he is stealing Phil. He's stealing airline tickets.
Yes.
Paper tickets that can be validated and used as airline tickets.
Mm-hmm.
From an era where you could do that, apparently.
I guess.
That was a thing, yeah.
Yeah, you take a paper ticket, you validate it, and now it's a real airline ticket that can go somewhere.
Yeah, I guess, it's very confusing. The crimes being committed here... are strange crimes.
Yeah. So and this is what Mizumura was buying, is he was buying these airline tickets which have a fundamental value once they're validated, and that would be, and he's going to pay him for the privilege. But guess what? Magnum finally realizes, he says that Burnside said there you had to testify in a trial, but there is no trial, and that's when Bull and Burnside come in. And
we get the explanation for the name.
Yes. Which is
it's like, oh,
it's like we zig and they zag, essentially. It's like, oh, yeah. Well, you know, we put him, they found him when he was under an assumed name, so we put him under his own name because nobody's going to look for that. I'm like, okay.
It's
no,
like, whatever.
But, yeah, sure. All right, fine. the moment that I thought was hilarious is that they've got them there at gunpoint, and they say, let's go somewhere else.
Yeah.
Oh, and so this is one of the moments where I kind of heard squealing brakes in my head, because it's like, you know, what was this thing that you were testifying against, Floyd? Mm-hmm. He goes, the Klan.
Yeah, no, yeah. Okay. Like, this is where
lighthearted episode, and then
this really broke my brain. Where it's we're doing a little caper involving airline tickets, uh-huh. And oh, also racism.
What? Burnside, like, I think you ought to come back home because you betrayed the boys,
the Brotherhood.
You betrayed the Brotherhood.
The Brotherhood.
It's like, oh Jesus, yeah. Magnum, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah, but let's go somewhere else. And they're like, how about we go out this back door here where Mizumura and his thugs are? Okay, mm-hmm. Shooting, fighting again. It's Magnum. There's like gunfire, but nobody gets struck and punch 'em ups, and the cops show up in about two minutes.
Yeah,
yeah. And that's and really, it's just like, okay, well, that's over. Magnum voiceover. You're probably wondering what's going on. He says to the cops, and I'm like, is this the start of a voiceover? It's not, but it should be, right? He's like, drop it. I'm wondering what's going on. And indeed, in the next scene, Magnum says, well, let me tell you what happened next, because we're not going to show any of that. This is the last scene of Magnum P.I. for this week, everybody. Rick brings back the Ferrari. It's been fixed. Higgins decides he will pay the bill after all.
To hold it over.
Because
him.
It means that then Magnum can't drive the Ferrari. Cindy says, no, I'll pay the bill. He says, Cindy, how do you have that money? And Cindy says, well, when you thought I was in the bathroom, I actually was at, like...
They're shooting craps in the ladies' room.
Yeah. Oh, that's it. Yeah. So she took money off of the people at the pyramid scheme sex party.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is literally the ultimate 1980s ending where there's like I have all this money from the crap game at the sex party, and everyone does the laughter and freeze.
No.
And it's like,
no, it's literally like, oh, we're fighting and they're shooting and it's going to be bad. The cops come, freeze. Oh, all right. Cut to, well, then everything worked out.
And
okay.
And she basically goes, remember that? Nathan Detroit had a crap game. It was great. And there's a song. And
the thing about her having the money, though, is she said, oh, remember that ridiculous, absurd thing that happened? I made money there. And honestly, that was like a really great callback where I'm like, right.
It was.
Right. The pyramid scheme sex party. Of course, that's the answer. Of course it is.
See, it's
Chekhov's sex party.
It's a fun enough episode, but I feel like you're at the buffet. And they keep ladling things on your plate, like with airline tickets and Ku Klux Klan. No, I don't want any of that. Oh, well, here's some more sex party. What are you doing? What are you doing? Yeah. My plate is... and there's just this mountain of plot silliness after silliness.
Yes.
It's very hard to... to keep the threads going. This episode exhausted me in a way that I haven't been exhausted in a while.
Would you like one more plot point? It is wafer thin.
No, I don't. No, my least favorite Monty Python sketch.
Yes, same.
Oh,
same.
No.
So, in the end, all roads lead to Floyd.
Yeah.
I like this episode. It has some very weird things in it that are bad, but it has so many weird things in it that are good that in the end, although it is ridiculous, I like it kind of because it's ridiculous. And the pyramid schemes is it's just so strange. It's just so weird. Also, and Floyd just legging it from a car that's literally in the road. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
And that is again,
total again. Grandpa Simpson's move.
Yep.
Yeah. And you know, it's kind of fascinating revisiting the whole series and going, you know, of all the guest stars, of all the women that they had going up with Tom Selleck, you know, a lot of them are fine, functional characters. The ones that have a sense of humor, the ones that can be playful, those are the fascinating
Helps
ones.
Helps a lot,
and this
yeah.
is one of my favorites.
Helps a lot.
Yeah. And it's a lot of times Call it's
me
blonde.
Jenny, because I'm on the lam, screams Noah Berry. as he takes off down the
yep.
road.
So,
oh, goodness.
And again, another Rockford connection, because that's Rockford's dad
just
like a Rockford
just
writer.
Like last week, yeah.
Yeah, it was totally unintentional.
All right. I'd like
yes, all roads lead to Floyd, and it's not about the destination. It's about the journey because the destination sucks.
It's not not about the destination. It's about the journey, and also about Floyd, because all roads lead to Floyd. Mm-hmm. I'm going to keep saying it. Tropical Madness, the Kona winds. All
the
roads
Kona
lead
winds.
To Floyd. That's just how it is.
Yeah,
I'd like now to turn to a recurring segment here, which is letters from listeners.
Hey,
oh okay,
we got one of those.
Yes, we did. It is from our good friend listener Blair.
Oh no,
oh, no,
oh no.
who is now word has reached listener Blair about what we did to listener Blair. Blair says,
"This is bad news."
Jason,
all roads lead to listener Blair.
I am writing this to you hot off of finishing your Tropical Madness episode. I'm sorry I've been running behind lately and I'm getting caught up. What an incredible surprise to be burned 2 weeks in a row and to have an award named after me. I have to say I'm touched. And again, to everyone else, suggest your episodes for us to watch at Magnum at theincomparable.com. I have to say I'm touched. Never in my life did I think I would be immortalized in the Magnum universe by having the worst listener award created in my honor. The sad thing is I actually enjoyed Death and Taxes. Maybe a bout of Tropical Madness struck me.
No!
wait for the Kona winds. As revenge for the insults, I'm requesting another episode. Do with it what you will. Season 2, episode 1.
Ignoring it.
Billy Joe Bob. What do we know about Billy Joe Bob?
Absolutely not. This is actually a memorably bad episode.
Yeah.
Because Billy Joe Bob is, I think, a hothead of some sort, and every moment he is on the screen, you are all, I do not like this episode at all.
Blair says, I love this episode, but time has shown my sensibilities are not to be trusted. Good.
Clearly, Blair.
Good introspection, Blair. I love James Whitmore Jr. in this episode, which is made all the better remembering him as Freddie Beamer in the classic Rockford Files episode, Nice Guys Finished Dead, alongside Tom Selleck as Lance White. It's hilarious thinking of him as the sniveling, bumbling Beamer and then seeing him as the hyper-masculine alpha male Texan, Billy Joe Bob.
And he is also in Ivan.
He appears again in the classic Did You See the Sunrise, but you already knew that. Also, thank you for the recommendation to emailing. This is a thing that I did, to emailing about the Get Wet hat, another one of the rare Magnum hats. It just came in the mail and it looks great. Listener Blair, well, good news, Blair. You got that hat. The bad news is we're not watching your suggestion. You know,
there is one good thing to say about Billy Joe Bob. Seth Sakai.
Oh, nice.
I'm just saying.
So instead, let me tell
Still not enough to watch it.
That on the advice of Mr. Philip Michaels.
Oh, no.
Our next episode is going to be season 5, episode 4, The Legacy of Garwood Huddle.
God, Philip Michaels' taste is worse than Blair's.
Yeah,
you're
in line. You're in line for the Listener Blair Award here, Phil. Just watch out. Just watch yourself.
I know is that he hates Mondays and he loves lasagna and he hates that stupid little kitten.
What a legacy.
Yep.
Yeah.
I think are we done? Is that it? Do we have more to say?
I mean,
all roads lead to Floyd, everybody.
Yeah, Floyd.
That's the answer.
Floyd with two Y's.
All right, we'll be back. Oh, man. Yes. Shout out to Mr. Pyramid, Mr. Scheme, and Mr. Sexy.
And the X is silent.
The double X is silent.
Floyd.
Yes. Until next time when we watch The Legacy of Garwood Huddle, this has been Magnum Podcast. I'm Jason Snell. They've been Philip Michaels and David J. Lohr. Bye, guys.
This episode is dedicated to the memory of Charles Sexy, entrepreneur, friend.
Two X's.